Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Will McLean, and I serve here as our pastor of spiritual formation, and I'm really grateful to come alongside our Tuesday worship team for this time of Tuesday worship. Tuesday is a community within France of sacred prayer and practice that has been forming a way of life that is grounded in the rhythm of God, in the slow, patient way of love. We will combine the worship of Tuesday, singing of songs, repetitive songs that help still our minds and rest our hearts, with the sacred practice of walking the labyrinth. We walk the labyrinth because walking leads us into, again, that pace of God. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll notice that Jesus is never really in a hurry to get anywhere. At times, even it frustrates Jesus' disciples and others in the community that he just seems to go about walking from place to place, even in times of great need and crisis. We worship a God who walks. We worship a God who moves at that pace that is slow and steady, the pace of love. And so as we walk in the labyrinth, we are practicing that incarnational embodied faith of moving at the slow, steady speed of God. This practice of walking a labyrinth has a deep history within the well of Christian tradition. This labyrinth, it's actually a scale model of the Chartres labyrinth, which was really created in the 13th century, so an ancient part of our faith. And a beautiful thing about that design of the labyrinth is that this rose petal that you see in the middle of our labyrinth, if you were to take the rose window of that great cathedral and compress it down to the size and to the 2D image that we have here, that rose symbol would be right in the center of the labyrinth as it is today. That rose symbolizes Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, and so invites us to be people who labor with God's Spirit in birthing God in our own lives and in this world. I want to offer just another perspective on the labyrinth. That's our historical perspective. We also understand the labyrinth as a metaphor for life, that life takes many twists and turns, and that God is present guiding us at every single moment. Also, the uneven spots on our very imperfect labyrinth tonight, you'll notice them as you walk it. Those remind us of the moments in life's journey when the path isn't smooth, and yet God is sufficient in guiding us through every twist and turn and season. Other practical words of instruction about how we will engage in this practice of walking the labyrinth. You'll see here that there is an entrance, and before you enter into the labyrinth, we would invite you, if you are comfortable, to take your shoes off. We don't want the need to take your shoes off to hinder your ability to engage in the practice. So if you absolutely need your shoes to walk safely, please keep your shoes on. But if you are able to walk safely without your shoes, we ask you to do that just so we can keep the longevity of this gift of a labyrinth that we have here tonight. You can leave your shoes in that empty space in between the chairs. Also, for the sake of safety, we ask that you wait to enter into the labyrinth until the person in front of you goes through that first turn to my left. That will allow us to have adequate space between each other as pilgrims we go along this path. Another word of instruction is you'll see in the labyrinth that the white section is the guided path. The purple section is the boundary of that guided path. And if at any point you feel God's Spirit calling you to simply rest and to be, we invite you to rest and to be by stepping off of that white guided path into the purple section. Also, if the person behind you is pressing up against you and it seems that they are walking at a different pace than you, that's okay. It is not impolite to stay where you are and to let the person behind you walk around you. Likewise, it is not impolite to get off the path so that you might get in front of the person in front of you. Although I would encourage all of us to move maybe at a slower pace tonight. God has created this space that we can do that in this holy time that is set apart. The center of the labyrinth again symbolizes the rose, the place of God's becoming, Mary. And we invite you to remain in that center space for as long as you feel comfortable, as long as you would like. You can sit there. You can stand there. I don't know if we have room for many of us to lay down. But I hope you hear the invitation to rest, to be still, and to receive God's loving presence in the center. Throughout our worship, too, we will be singing in the ancient practice, or in the modern practice of our Tisay worship songs, the meditative way of singing that stills our hearts and minds for in God's presence. Most of our songs will be in English. Some of our songs will be in other languages. We invite you to sing in the language that is your heart language. Later in our liturgy, too, we will have an opportunity to engage in a practice of receiving prayers, healing prayers, and anointing with oil. I will be leading that practice over in the corner. And again, at the right time, I will offer an invitation of how you might engage in that time of prayer and anointing with oil. Friends, God has set apart this holy time and this space for us to abide in God's never-failing love. Might we rest with God, and might we worship God, as together we begin our worship by singing the Kingdom of God.
Thank you. In the beginning, the Word, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. John testified him, crying out, "This is the one whom I said, he who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came unto being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side and has made God known."
Yahweh, you've searched me and you know me. You know if I'm standing or sitting, whether I walk or lie down, you are watching. You are intimate with all my ways. A word is not even on my tongue, Yahweh, before you know what it is. You hem me in before and behind, shielding me with your hand. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, a height my mind cannot reach. Where could I run from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in death, you're already there. I could fly away with wings made of dawn, or make my home on the far side of the sea. But even there, your hand will guide me, your mighty hand holding me fast. If I say, the darkness will hide me, and night will be my only light, even darkness won't be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Darkness and light are the same to you.
It is good to you.
As we enter this time of extended silence and continue walking the labyrinth and meditating on our experience, those of us who have already walked the labyrinth, I pray that God will continue to stir our imaginations for the divine realities we celebrate in this holy time and space where the season of Christmas lays itself into the feast of the Epiphany. At its deepest core, this holy time invites us to reflect on the surprise of God's love as we celebrate in the incarnation of Jesus Christ that God is more gracious, more loving than we ever could have imagined. And this love is so ordinary and yet so expansive that it is for people of all nations, all tribes, at all times, and yet right for our time at this very moment. And the beauty of the church is that the church invites us not just to state this gospel truth and to move on with our lives, but rather to linger in the lavish nature of God's love and to sit with the surprise. The story that we celebrate with Epiphany is a story of wise people traveling to see the Christ child. They don't know exactly what they will find or how it will change them, but they go because a star in the sky stirs them. They live with an openness to the direction of God. They pay attention, and they receive interruptions as an invitation into a new way of life. Christmas and Epiphany liberate us from the illusion that we live self-directed lives. And they invite us to experience the joy of living a life directed by God's gracious Spirit. As we walk the labyrinth tonight, as we experience the twists and the turns, as we struggle to see the path ahead, I invite you to reflect on these questions. How might God be calling you to release control in your life? Are there particular places, practices, or people where or with whom you sense God moving you toward in a new direction? Are there particular places, practices, or people where or with whom you sense God moving you away from in a new direction? What might it look like for you to receive the twists and turns of your journey, not with frustration and impatience, but with thanksgiving? If you are lost or struggling with any sense of direction, how can you ask for help? tonight and in days to come. How might you rest in the center of God's always embracing, unconditionally loving, joyful presence? Jesus' whole life of public ministry is grounded in his private life of prayer. Jesus would frequently get away from the disciples, get away from the action, and abide in a time and space with God, with creation. His disciples noticed that pattern, and of all the things they could have asked him to teach them, they asked that he would teach them how to pray. We continue to come with Christ with that same question and humility. And Christ continues to teach us to pray as he prays. And so together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walking the labyrinth and abiding in God's presence has a way of unearthing in us thoughts, emotions, patterns within our own life, places where we recognize, in relationships where we recognize we are not well. The church has a practice of anointing those who are unwell with oil is a sign of hope and solidarity. We pray boldly as Christ teaches us to pray, and we also recognize that prayer is a great mystery. And yet we believe that God begins that work of leading us into wholeness through the practice of naming where we are not well, where we seek grace, where we seek reconciliation, where we seek relief from pain, where we seek life and life eternal. We've created a space tonight for you to make known those requests, those hopes, and those hurts to God. Here in a moment, I'm going to walk over to a prayer station where if you would like to pray with me and to make those hopes and those hurts known to God, you can do that, and also you can receive anointing oil. You can also come on behalf of someone in your life or the pain and the hurt and the struggle of this world. In making our prayers known, might we experience the solidarity of beloved community in this place.
Thank you. Thank you.
as you go forth into the world this night to walk in the way of peace, to be a pilgrim of love, to move at the slow, steady pace of God's grace and holy friendship. Amen.